I'm talking about MOU, not specific roads, that's all. Mr. Lawson, you still got something left to do here.
I do. Luckily, it's short. County Administrator's Report for October 1, 2019, Item 1, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet. Lewis Crossing, Phase 8, Plan Approval and Construction Record in the Estuary, Phase 22A. Construction record received substantial completion effective September 24th and September 25th, respectively. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Kilgo. Come on down here, please, sir. We're going to talk about consideration of Georgetown Fiber Ring Acquisition.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, and other members of council. I come before you to ask your considerance for the purchase of the what is known as the Georgetown Fiber Ring.
It's not an MOU.
No, there's not an MOU. We're changing the subject now.
As you see, when back in August of 20, I want to say it's 2015, I believe, 20. IT and Broad Valley came before you guys to talk about the fiber ring and how it was designed. It currently connects four of our county facilities. We have a 10 gig connection. What we currently have in the arrangement, Broad Valley owns and services the fiber ring. Broad Valley provides internet service through a sister company called New Vision to two customers here in Georgetown. The county pays currently $8,500 per month. That was agreed in the first contract with a second five-year contract at that same price. After that second term of 5 years, the price could go up or down in that third term.
How many customers do we have now?
We have no customers.
What do you say about
two? New Vision and Broad Valley has two customers here in Georgetown.
Okay. And we're paying $8,500 for two customers.
No, the county's paying $8,500 for a private network.
Six customers, okay.
So we're paying $8,500 to connect four of our county facilities for communications.
We're getting this county, the county's already on it now, right?
Yes, we've been on it for 4 years. Actually, this is the fifth year.
I couldn't get it clicked on.
So we currently pay $8,500 for six strands of fiber. The contract is, this month is the first month of the 5 years of the first term in our contract. So if we continue next year, we'd renew another term of 5 years. The next 5 year renewal cost at $8,500 times 12 times 5, it would be $510,000 over 5 years in the next term. And Broad Valley offered to give us six more strands for any emergency reasons or anything that comes along.
And there's 144 strands up to the
yes.
Fiber.
So what Broad Valley is, what we propose in the proposal, Broad Valley is selling us all 144 strands of fiber.
Where do these 12 truck strands go to?
Excuse me?
Where do the 12 strands go to?
The 144 strands go completely around in that map that I had on the first slide, and I'll go back to that.
You said somebody had 12.
So where you see the red line around Georgetown, C being the administration building here, the fiber goes out to the airport, to the EOC, to our records building, then out on Route 9, County Route 9, and then goes a little bit of a ways off of Route 9 and then comes back around on 113 to our West Administration facility and then back to the administration building.
Does it grab the industrial park?
It's out that way, but it's on the north side of the airport. So it's where the
gets it.
Yes.
So the airport gets it, but the industrial park is a little outside.
So we have, just to give you a little bit more, the ring connects our county facilities, but the airport terminal has a connection to the EOC. So we have 48 strands of fiber going to the EOC between the EOC and the airport. So from the airport terminal, we have another 24 strands going around the runway over to the industrial park to our water facility, over in the industrial park.
If somebody rents in the industrial park, they have an internet capability.
Yes, and also there, just to let you know, Comcast is out in our industrial park too, so they already have the capabilities. They have options. So before Comcast came out last year into the industrial park, the only option was Verizon DSL or dial-up. So you have big companies like Alof, they're doing e-commerce, business transactions, they need that fast speed, and they have been begging and begging and begging for years to get that, but the only thing that they had was DSL.
But that's changed now.
That has changed, yes.
Well, the strands that you're talking about there, from the EOC to the airport terminal, that's something we put in separately.
We own privately, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Like I said, currently we were leasing six strands of fiber. We didn't own them, we leased them, you know, and the agreement was 5 years, every 5 years, at $8,500 a month. So in the proposal, Broad Valley is giving us all 144 strands of fiber, plus an extra duct of conduit running around in that same path. So we have a spare duct to, you know, we can lease that out. Similar to what DelDOT does along the highways. They run extra ducts, conduits, to, you know, either allow private industries to use it, depending on how it was funded, or they use it for their own purposes in the future. So along in the proposal, New Vision is the ISP. That is the sister company of Broad Valley, who is servicing the two customers here in Georgetown. So in the proposal, we've written that New Vision would continue to service and monitor the existing fiber ring, and we would allow them six strands of the 144 to utilize if that agreement is made. If that agreement is not made, New Vision would pay the county $5,200 per month to use those six strands of fiber.
So they would pay for the maintenance of the ring?
They would pay us to utilize those six strands if they do not.
Well, they'd either pay $5,200 a month or the six strands.
Or continue to service and monitor the whole 144 strands of fiber.
And they'd be responsible for maintenance and,
yes,
and any repairs and things of that nature?
Yes, sir.
Might be cheaper to go the other way.
So what are some of the benefits in this acquisition? We continue to maintain our robust connectivity between our county facilities. Currently, we have 10 gigs of bandwidth between the facilities. If we were to pay someone like Comcast for 10 gigs, that would be in the neighborhood of about $3,500 per month per connection to each facility. So roughly $12,000 to $15,000 per month it would cost us. So what does this do? So basically, in a sense, we're asking you guys for a five-year investment in payment, and then after that, we don't pay any more monthly recurring fees. So that saves us in the tune of $100,000 a year after 5 years.
Because we would own them.
Yes, we would own it. So the other benefit is a possibility of a new revenue from partnerships of other ISPs. This also can act as an extension of our broadband initiative. So we could give incentives and partner with BlueServe or other ISPs that want to do business in and around Sussex County to maybe, you know, get some revenue for them to utilize this infrastructure.
Can you sell it to other people in Georgetown?
We could.
So just those two are using it now?
Those two have a contract with New Vision. So New Vision, the county does not want to be in the internet service provider business. It takes a lot. You know, you have to have the manpower support it 24/7, and then we have to have a department that can take that revenue in and deal with those customers. I don't think we want to be in that business.
But at the end of 5 years, aren't we doing that in that proposal?
No. At the end of 5 years, we're only dealing with the corporations that are going to be providing those services to those residents and those recipients of the internet.
They're going to be dealing
with
that.
Yes. So this also gives us an opportunity to incentivize these ISPs to do business and innovate and price fairly in and around Sussex County. So we give them some incentives, and that allows them to grow and expand and offer services to these desert areas and low-income communities.
Dwayne?
Yes, sir.
What was the original cost of the ring?
I believe the original cost was in a neighborhood of $2 million.
And he's willing to let it go for $500,000 because basically it's not been successful, right?
Well,
why do you think he hasn't been able to build this thing out?
I can't answer that, sir. I don't know what is going on, but I think that Broad Valley comes from the Washington, D.C. area. So prices on broadband is a lot higher because the demand, it's harder to run infrastructure in the city areas. You only have so much growth, and it's costly. So their cost in the D.C. area is a lot higher than what we currently pay on Delmarva and how we do business. So, you know, it's just like, you know, buying property in the city. You're going to pay $2 million for a house that may cost you $200,000 here. Well, us coming from Delmarva, that's hardship. You know, you don't want to pay $2 million for a house that's the same size as the house that you have on Delmarva. So I think that's how it is. And they came here with that mindset that they could do business and carry it on like they do in the Washington corridor. And that's not the case. We have a lot of people that are set in our ways, and we want to save money.
If we didn't buy it, would somebody else buy it?
I can't answer that. I don't know how many offers they've had.
Is there a risk that it would shut down?
Yes.
What would happen to the county if it was shut down?
We could no longer do business as we do. We cannot connect our facilities. Our facilities would not communicate. So therefore, what we've done is we've consolidated our server, our back-end infrastructure. So all of our servers, our ERP and everything else and how we do business is consolidated to one location. So everyone that sits in these other facilities and need our ERP system or our CAD, our 911 center, the servers for CAD are actually at our West Complex. And you have EOC, so they wouldn't be able to run their application if we lost this connectivity. So we wouldn't be able to do business as we do it today. And it would be some time to get that built and get someone else in to build us that infrastructure because we don't have that infrastructure running.
An expense.
Yes, a huge expense. So the going rate to run fiber right now is about $75,000 per mile. And we have about 10 miles of fiber running around in this ring right now.
What happened to the towers?
Towers are going and we're
getting... Do that?
Well, we did use wireless, and here's the problem with wireless. Wireless has limitations on bandwidth. So it has limitations on bandwidth. So we used to use wireless before.
Bandwidth speed.
Yeah. So we used to use wireless before we did this fiber ring. The problem with wireless were we were getting bottlenecks. There were hang-ups in data, and it slowed the way we did business. You know, you had to wait for the screen to come up because it had to go across the wireless to hit the server, then to come back across the slow wireless speeds. Right now we have 10 gig.
Well, how long does that take?
It all depends on the application that the person is using at the time.
2 seconds or what?
It could be many seconds, sir.
Many seconds?
Yes.
That's not what Hughes tells me.
Huh?
Hughes tells me they can do it in a matter of just seconds.
So one of the other benefits is closely monitoring the services provided by participating ISPs. Consequently, these ISPs can be held accountable to certain performance standards and ensure that the integrity and the members get the services that they deserve. And that's all I have.
We're only using two wires right now, is that correct? We're using two wires now?
Actually, we are using two pair. So we're using four strands of the six right now. Yes.
What's happened to the other strands?
That's actually a backup. So, you know, during business, you always want to have a spare just in case something gets cut or damaged. You want to have that spare that you can fold over to.
Okay.
Ms. Jennings. have a question for you. Is this a good investment of our money?
Absolutely. I can go into some of the questions that Mr. Riley had asked. I had asked Dwayne. I wanted to build out the ring. So say it goes down, we ended up still saving money going this way, and having the potential of bringing in additional revenue was even a plus. But I don't like speculative kinds of things. So I wanted to make sure without that speculative revenue source, it was just the cost of the ring, we were still going to make out okay. So.
Well, why not rent these lines out? Why not rent them out? I think Mr. Burton asked a good question a while ago.
We will be.
That is the plan.
We will be.
We are doing that.
We don't own it. We don't own it now. Once we own it, we will.
If we own it, we're going to do that. Right?
Yes. Yes, we will.
Okay.
And we have interest. We have interest from entities in and around Georgetown now.
Just a month now that you got
a month. Maybe a little quick on a month.
Don't spend $1 million. They got me pretty fast.
Any questions of council? Questions. Do you by chance have a motion?
Yes, sir.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council authorizes the IT director in entering in an agreement with Broad Valley Microfiber Networks Incorporated to purchase the Georgetown Ring for a cost not to exceed $510,000.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Questions?
I believe the private enterprise should come in and make decisions on this. Why are we getting ahead of private people, moving them out? And the private people can't make a living at it, so they want us to buy it. So technically, we're losers.
Any more questions in the council? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
No.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Jim Hickman. Airport leases. We have three of them. I assume we're going to go to one of the menus on here, so you're Georgetown Air Service leasing them the first one?
Yes. Okay. And actually, the first two items, we've been discussing this for over 2 years now, has to do with actually two issues. The first one, there's a lot of demand for big hangar space at the airport. The problem with that is to develop the land that we have available would take $1.5 million to $2 million of county money to prepare that site for somebody to come in and build a hangar. The second issue is the old terminal building, which has a lot of water damage and some other structural issues that we estimated about $450,000 to fix. So the solution to that was allow somebody to come in and tear down the old terminal building, put a big hangar in its place, and that kind of solves two of the problems. So back in May, you entered into an MOU with Georgetown Air Services saying that you would let them out of their lease for the old terminal building. We'd issue an RFP for somebody to come in and build a hangar, and that's what we've done. The only respondent was Shell Brothers to build a large hangar. So there's two items. The first is an amendment to the Georgetown Air Services lease, which deletes lot A3-2 from their lease, decreases their rent from 9 cents a gallon of fuel sold down to 2 cents.
How is it a valuable building in it?
Well, we're taking that property away from them, and it leaves them with a very small piece of property where the fuel farm is. So that 2 cents actually works out to be about 33 cents a square foot, which our average out there right now is 38. But the problem with that property is you can't build anything on there except for probably the fuel farm. So, you know, being an average.
Mr. Hickey, how much income do we get from this, from fuel? Are you?
Right now at 9 cents, it's about $30,000 a year. It'll drop to about $6,600 once we drop to 2 cents. We make part of that up with the new lease, which will be at about $11,000 a year. And then we also delete the cost of having to repair that building for $450,000, which would take us probably 20 years just to pay that off.
It's going to take how many years? What do you anticipate that it's going to take how many years to pay off this building? Two cents a gallon? Or is it give?
We're not really paying off the building with a 2 cents a gallon. We're charging rent for the property that's still left on the Georgetown Air Services lease. We'll get the ground rent for the property that the old terminal building is on and save the $450,000. We went through this a couple times in the last two budget processes. In the long run, it's a wash. But it also gets us a 25,000 square foot hangar to replace a 5,000 square foot hangar with a large jet aircraft that's going to buy a lot of fuel and make improvements to the airport.
What's the cost of demo?
The demo is on. It will be on Shell Brothers, the tenant for the new hangar. So there's no cost to us at all to demolish or build.
Do you have an estimate of what that is? Do you have an estimate of what?
I don't know. I know the cost to us is zero.
If I may, Mr. President.
Certainly.
Councilman, you may recall when we analyzed the alternative being land rent versus self-built hangar. That's when we had to include all the ancillary costs, including the demolition, including all the work, the maintenance, the future maintenance. Remember, we had to figure all that in as well. Right now, if you're doing a land rent project, all we do is we rent the land. We have no future responsibility until that lease expires. So you have seen in our budget workshop the two options, county-owned versus county land rent. And the land rent one, by far, when you look at that, was the most cost-effective option for the county.
Continue.
Okay. So the second amendment with the Georgetown Air Services lease, like I said, it'll reduce the rent from 9 cents a gallon to 2 cents. It deletes lot A32 from his lease, leaving, it's called lot A3-4, which is the fuel farm. And it also extends the term of his lease to align it with the lease he has for lot C-1, which is the first big blue hangar that you see when you come out to the airport. So it makes a better business arrangement for him. Unless you have any other questions, I have a motion for this one.
Any questions of council? Anybody?
Why did you decide to cut the gas?
Mr. Wilson.
Did you figure we're going to sell more gas?
Well, it came down to it's a land rent, and at 2 cents a gallon, based on what fuel he's selling out there now, that's a reasonable amount of rent.
Councilman, it would be the calculated equivalent of the land rent, because Mr. Hicken had to back into that number per gallon, because we are not renting it by the square foot, we're renting it by the gallon. So that way, it's a, you know, like he worked it backwards, and that was the suggested numbers. We both looked at it, and it is supported by the current fuel sales. And it would actually increase if we have the projected future growth in the fuel sales.
And for the last 12 years, with the ups and downs, the fuel sales have gone up 1.2% per year on average. The last 5 years, without any downs, it's all ups, it's been about 6.8% a year. So we're thinking it's probably a 5% a year increase, for the foreseeable future. So it's a good rate to start with, and it's got a good increase to it.
More questions, council? Please read your motion, sir.
Be it moves based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council approve the second amendment to the April 29th, 2014 lease agreement between Sussex County and Georgetown Air Services for lot A3-2 as presented.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Next. Right, thank you. Well, we don't have a tenant for lot A3-2 anymore, so we'll need to put somebody on there. Like I said, the only respondent to our RFP was Shell Brothers, which will be a tenant known as Shell Aviation LLC. We've We're finalizing the lease this morning, so you didn't have that in your packet, but what I did have is your, is the, all the terms of the lease. Like I said, it's lot A3-2, it's a 30-year lease, which is our standard with two 10-year options. 40 cents a square foot for land rent, which is above our average out there. We just finalized the actual lot size this morning, and it's nearly $11,000 a year in rent, $10,934.
How many years lease?
30 with two 10-year options.
Is that a guarantee? Is it a guarantee they're going to stay in 30? Or can he get out? Can he get out of the lease?
I don't think so. And he can default on the lease, in which case the county would take possession of the hangar, which is not that bad of a deal.
If they break the lease, we take the hangar, right?
Right. Okay. And that's the case with anybody out there. It's a almost 26,000 square foot hangar that they're proposing. The lease requires a minimum of 20, but that's 2.5 times the size of those big blue hangars that you see out there. So it's a fairly large hangar.
I just look at collateral.
I'm sorry?
I was looking for collateral.
A hangar.
Yeah. They won't call me. We got collateral.
That's correct. Mr. Medlars.
I know, Mr. President. I apologize. But reminding you, the RFP established a floor for the square foot price. So I wanted to make sure everybody knows that. The proposal, any proposal entertained by the county, had to have at least the 40 cent and had an escalation requirement. So that is the floor. Somebody could have proposed more, but they currently could not have proposed less. And just like Mr. Hagan said, that 40 cent was established by us before we went out on the RFP as a competitive rate for a starting point. So I want to make sure that we all come back to that. You know, that's how you approved the RFP. That's how it went out. That's how we reviewed the proposal.
And we did all our analysis based on a 20,000 square foot hangar, and they're actually proposing almost 26,000. So that increases the rent even more. They'll pay for all the utilities, taxes, and any improvements on the property revert to the county at the end of the lease. The usual insurance requirements. There's some FAA clauses in the lease, and then the standard clauses about how he makes his payment and that type of thing. But the big terms of the lease: 30 years, 40 cents a square foot, so about $11,000 a year.
The only concern I have with that, sorry, Mr. Chairman, the only concern I have is it's a competitive lease at 40 cents, but we only had one respondent. So, I mean, it's competitive, I guess, is because we set the bar, right, and he met the bar.
And he's not the only prospective tenant we've talked to in the last few years. We've had several people want to build a hangar out there, and we start talking about 38, 40 cents a square foot. It seemed to drive some of them away. So I think it's a pretty good market rate.
Who caused the insurance?
I'm sorry?
Did we carry the insurance?
No. They carry the insurance. It's all our standard insurance language, general liability, hangar keeper's insurance. Use of the hangar will allow him to store tenant-owned aircraft and also lease out space to somebody else, which is an even better deal for us because of the fuel sales.
You have a motion?
Sure. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that the Sussex County Council authorizes the Council President to execute a lease agreement between Sussex County and Shell Aviation LLC for lot A3-2 with terms as presented.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Questions on the motion? Take a vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Aye. Yes. Motion carried. And your last one, sir?
This is K Properties. They're one of our older tenants in the industrial park. The operator is TPI Partners. on lots 17 and 18 across from a loft there at the intersection. You also see FBK Medical on the side of their building. They're a plastic extrusion company that makes plastic tubing for medical industry, brewers, just anybody that needs a plastic tube. Their lease, the initial term wasn't up until 2026, about 7 years from now. They came to us well over a year ago and said that there's too much uncertainty in the remaining part of the lease and asked to renegotiate the lease. So we've been doing that. The lease was in the packet for you to review. Basically, it keeps the rent the same and for the first 8 years. And then after that, the rent escalates up to well above fair market value. So over the course of the 30-year lease, we actually make out better renegotiating the lease today than probably what we would in eight or 9 years.
You have a motion?
Sure. Be it moved based upon the recommendations of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council approve the lease agreement between Sussex County and K Properties LLC for lots 17 and 18 as presented.
Pleasure of Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I will get motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Metallurgs. In the Bay's regional wastewater facility, regional biosolids and septic facility, project 18-19. Change order.
Good morning. Again, Mr. President, Council members. I gave the summary of the facility status in the first two paragraphs. Over the last 4 years, we've been touching the facility several times. We looked at it, what is the intent, the long-term proposed use for it, and we are constructing a septic receiving facility, a biosolids handling facility, and we have three municipal partners already. We're adding a fourth one. I'll be coming to see you in the very near future with the, I think next week, with the Georgetown biosolids agreement, and we also have Artesian as our biosolids partner. So with that said, we've been looking at the ultimate use of the facility and the project as it has grown. We also have a phase three, which is essentially in almost full design. And when the council has looked at the overall approach, whether we would want to store more water or seek alternative outlets, you may recall we opted for the alternative outlets. Land Spray Partners is one of the outlets. Effluent disposal by the Artesian Rib facility is another outlet. That has allowed us to delete the storage facility out of phase three, which allowed us to delete some of the piping which bid under phase two and some of the disinfection arrangements which was bid out as phase two. That's what you see as the big credit under that change order here. So as you can see, the alternative outlets already triggered into some changes into phase two as bid, allowing us to reduce the price there. As we entertained the submittal process, we also saw, our team saw, that there were some maintenance challenges on some of the sludge handling pumps. These are the pumps which transfer the material into the dryers. And these pumps were in a location in the space that made it, let's call it, removal made it difficult, so we opted to increase the space and change the configuration. That's the add on that change order. When you take these two together, it's essentially a wash. That's just sheer coincidence, has nothing to do with as it got approached. So I also took the opportunity to, on the second page, to sort of key you in on how this project ties to the stormwater management and the regulations. This is a tricky site for compliance because we're sitting essentially at a drainage high point. There's very little movement off that site. It's flat, and it's the drainage divide between two areas. compliance is difficult, so initially we had proposed as bid a fairly innovative approach. We would take the required volume as it has been treated, it's a volume-based treatment, pump it into our storage lagoon, and then spray it on the field. The Sussex Conservation District felt that they could not approve this without DNRC. DNRC weighed in and said because it is an extraneous flow, they could not allow it under the current regs as they're written to allow this. So let's just put this in the category over here. But what that resulted in, and we're still in negotiation with that, put us in a situation where we had to redesign the treatment of that volume on site because we do not have our overall credit bank established, which we're creating on that same site. Timing was not in our favor. So we will come back to you in a few weeks once we have that all worked out in terms of dollars and cents and approach you with change order number two in this particular issue. But I wanted you at least be aware of it, why this is happening and what is happening and how we're addressing it. That's the second page of this. The first one deals with the credit and the debit of a coincidental wash, i.e. the benefit we got out of deleting the storage lagoon and the cost we had into creating a better, more maintainable sludge pumping station.
You have a motion, sir?
I do have a motion.
Please read your motion.
Be moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, the change order number one for contract number 18-19 Inland Base Regional Wastewater Facility, Regional Biosolids and Septage Facilities, be approved, decreasing the contract amount by $321.47 for a new contract total of $13,668,024.53.
Pleasure, Council. Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Questions on the motion?
I got one question, Mr. Chairman. Is the debit new pumps or remanufacturing the old pumps?
These were new pumps to begin with, but when we got the submittals for the actual pumps, the dimensional, that's what's called a shop drawing, and we looked at the space where they would be housed, it became apparent that it would be very difficult once they're installed to remove them for future maintenance. So we went back to the contractor and say, what would it cost to enlarge that space to accommodate
the space that houses?
Let's call it, because these are sludge pumps and it's really not like a pump station, it's more like a
area.
The sludge sort of slides into the pump, so it's more like a chute. To reconfigure that space, what would be the cost so we can more easily remove and replace the pumps 10 years from now?
Okay.
So that was a change from the original design, which we did not anticipate. That was the cost. And the change to the piping and the disinfection was, we sort of envisioned this once we got DENREC to agree that alternative outlets would be considered and the storage lagoon could be deleted.
All goes back to user fee, right?
Affirmative.
Any more questions, the council? We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Cornwell, we're now in the old business change of zone number 1878, filed on behalf of Captain's Way Development LLC.
Thank you. At your public hearing on July 16th of this year, you council deferred for further consideration and left the record open for the Planning Commission and left the record open for 5 days for comments because at the time of the public hearing for before County Council, the Planning Commission had not made a recommendation. The Planning Commission has made a recommendation, received one comment that was provided to Council regarding the recommendation from Planning Commission, and that was from the developer, the applicant themselves, asking that the request for accessory dwelling units or garage studio apartments be reduced from 301 to 1 for one specific unit, and then any future future would come back per the county's requirements for a garage studio apartment. The Planning Commission did recommend approval for the garage studio apartments for the amendment to the condition of approval for the GRRPC. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions of council? Okay, Mr. Moore, if you'd read the short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a GRRPC, General Residential District, Residential Planned Community, to a GRRPC, General Residential District, Residential Planned Community, to allow for garage studio apartments for change of zone number 1721, ordinance number 2295, for a certain parcel of land lying and being brought to 100 Sussex County, containing 154.72 acres, more or less, for reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 6, with a change of condition in item 7. And it's my understanding there may be some amendments from council.
Does anyone have any proposed amendments?
I do, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, Mr. Burton, you have one. Why don't you proceed, Mr. Burton?
I just have a preamble here that I'd like to read for your all's consideration. Mr. Chairman and members of council, this application has given me more noodle time than any other application. It's hard to believe, given the fact that we held a public hearing and no one spoke in favor or against, and there have been no emails that I have read concerning it. However, it is our responsibility to look at all applications equally and always take into account our code and the health, safety, and orderly growth of the county. I was on planning and zoning when this application was first proposed as a 301-unit subdivision in 2012. The county has changed dramatically since then, and we must recognize that with each decision we make. I have many concerns with this application, which I will articulate, but the main concern I have is the precedent this application could have on the county's planning process, the state's planning process, and the community it's going to create. This application came before planning and zoning back in 2012 for a 301-unit single-family home subdivision. That is what was presented, and that is what was approved. Today, the same application, 7 years later, is requesting the permission to change this single-family 301-unit subdivision to a possible 600-unit single-family subdivision. This is a dramatic change. The change is not only in the doubling of density, it would also be a change to the area, to the roads, to the utilities, to the schools, to the amenities within the community, which were not adjusted, and how the community itself will function. This could set a precedence for this type of request throughout the county, and we are struggling with increased density problems every day, especially in my district. Given this fear, why even consider it? Well, first, we have a provision in our code that allows for garage studio apartments. It is my understanding this provision in our code was created for a one-off special situations when units like these could serve the greater good of the community. The intentions of these units could allow for an aging parent to live with their children, allow children to live at home with the needed space for harmonious, independent living, or provide a space for a caregiver, and even possibly provide a supplemental income, just to name a few. The concept in our code is a good one, but it was intended for a one-off application to the Board of Adjustment. This application is asking for a blanket approval for all the units in the subdivision, or an additional 301 units, totaling a possible 602-unit subdivision. The blanket approval is another of my heartburn, along with the precedents it could set throughout the county. Working with our attorney and reviewing the applicant application as it is zoned, its location, and the need we had for this type of housing options, I have the following thoughts and recommendations. This is a GRRPC. The land is currently zoned GR and comprises 154.9 acres. If the applicant chose to develop this land with a density allowed in GR, the allowable density would be 619 units. Because of this GR zoning characteristic, it will differentiate it from other subdivisions throughout the county, especially given the limited amount of GR zoned land left in the county. This gives me some relief from my concern of the precedent setting it could occur. Sussex County is in need of affordable housing. This type of housing option could address this need. We have recognized this need in our comp plan, our comprehensive land use plan, and we are reviewing our affordable housing option ordinance today. The location of this application to places of employment and proximity to transportation is a good match. Because this is an RPC, we can place conditions on it as to the number of these type of units permitted within the subdivision. The applicant has sent a letter in modifying his request to one unit. I can only guess the reason he has modified his request to one is to test the marketing idea. The problem with approving one is that if it is successful, the applicant or the new homeowner will then have to come before Board of Adjustment each and every time a garage studio apartment is requested, or an additional 301 requests if successful. It is my thought that we should limit the amount of the units to avoid the repeated appeals to Board of Adjustment. Additionally, it would allow for the proper planning from DLDOT, our utility department, the size and the parking requirements for the amenities, just to name a few. It would also allow for predictability within the community. Therefore, it is my recommendation that we approve CZ 1878 for the following reasons stated by PNZ and with the following conditions. Number one, there shall be no more than 15% of the total units as allowed as garage studio apartments. There shall be notices posted to all homeowners of each phase of the subdivision when a unit like this is requested, and each homeowner will sign a release stating that they understand this type of housing is permitted in this community. I have asked Everett to draw up these amendments, or these amendments, in a more legal manner if you all agree to those amendments.
Okay, so you would be making a motion as follows, correct?
I would make a motion as...
Based on what I'm getting ready to read.
Correct.
Okay. The amendment that, and I'm reading, instead of just inserting the words, I'll read the whole paragraph. So the motion would be to amend A to read as follows: the maximum number of lots shall not exceed 301. In addition to the main single family dwelling on each lot, one garage studio apartment shall be permitted on no more than 15% of the lots. The restrictive covenants and the recorded final site plan shall clearly state that 15% of the homes may have garage studio apartments, and all purchasers shall sign an acknowledgement that they are aware of that covenant. Further, that the developer or HOA notify all lot owners in each phase when a garage studio apartment is built in that phase. No garage studio apartment shall exceed 800 square feet in size and shall comply with the regulations of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The garage studio apartment shall be owned in common with the main single family dwelling on the lot, and the owner of the residence shall occupy one of the units on the property.
That's how you wrote your motion?
Yes.
How large is your lot? How big is the lot? How large is it?
You're 75.
The lots are 7,500 square feet. I would like clarification. The owner would be providing notice to the property owners within the phase, because that is completely different, and I want to make sure that that does not fall onto the staff, as for us, because that's also going to be a difficulty for the property owner, as the phases can actually change over time due to differences, and that does go against what the current requirements are for a garage studio apartment, so I'm just looking for clarification.
And we have addressed that.
Yes. Mr. Burton wanted to make sure that that was, the onus was on the, either the owner or the HOA to provide that notice instead of planning and zoning staff. And he wanted it broader instead of just what our code is, just the people on either side. He wanted that entire phase to be noticed.
Okay. But that onus would fall on the developer or owner of the site or the HOA if it is turned over to the HOA.
Okay.
Shouldn't you specify that then?
That was in the language.
Who is it?
It said further that the developer or HOA shall notify all lot owners in each phase when a garage studio apartment is built in that phase.
Because it won't have an HOA to start with.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You have to have the owner do it first. Then once you get enough for the HOA, if they have one, that turns over to them.
That'd be a better way to say it. Have the developer do it first, and then when the HOA is established.
I think either way works fine. I just wanted to make sure, because what Mr. Burton had said was not what Mr. Everett, what Mr. Moore had said, so I just want to make sure I was under complete understanding of what the condition is going to be.
Yes, Mr. Burton, when he read, when he was going through his preamble, had just said that the notice shall be posted, did not say by whom. His motion said who was to post it.
Thank you.
My intention there is that you buy in, you sign a deal, that you sign something that says, hey, I understand that that's what it is. And then as the development occurs, the developer then takes on the responsibility. And then as it goes to an HOA, then the HOA takes on the responsibility.
Yes.
So, that makes sense?
Yes.
Hold on a second. We have a motion from Mr. Burton. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Questions on this motion? Mr. Wilson?
Is it put on a deed what they're required to do?
That's a yes.
Yes, yeah. It's deed and site plan both in it.
Yes, if it's be the recorded restrictions, and the deeds always refer to the recorded restrictions and the recorded site plan as well.
Any more questions? We're going to vote on the amendment first. Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes,
Mr. Riley.
Do you have to give the rationale or?
Pardon me?
You can, if you desire, on this one.
What's that?
He wanted to know.
I didn't know.
Give
a rationale for.
Well, you can do. I guess I don't. We don't normally give rationales for amendments. Well, you can do, certainly.
I'll just vote no.
Okay. We had it.
Mr. Hudson was a yes.
Yeah, but no. Mr. Burton. Mr. Wilson.
No.
No. Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Motion carried. Now then, read short title, and then we have to vote on it as amended.
Correct. An ordinance, thank you, Mr. President, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a GRRPC, General Residential District Residential Plan Community, to a GRRPC, General Residential District Residential Plan Community, to allow for garage studio apartments for change of zone number 1721, ordinance number 2295, for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 154.72 acres, more or less, for reasons given by planning and zoning numbers 1 through 6, and the reasons given by Mr. Burton, and condition 7A as amended.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Burton.
Yeah, I vote for recommendations of made by planning and zoning and amendments made by county council.
Mr. Hudson?
I vote yes based on PNZ's recommendations and the amendments made by us, county council.
Mr. Riley?
I will yes for the reasons offered by planning and zoning and the amendments made by county council.
Mr. Wilson?
I'll vote yes. I'll also do the same. Go on the recommendations.
I also going to vote yes based on the recommendation of planning and zoning and the amended motion by council. Motion carried.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Proposed zoning ordinance introduction, Mr. Moore. I have a couple of them.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The first one is in Mr. Burton's district, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium-density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying being in Indian River 100 and Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 0.927 acres, more or less.
Move for adoption.
Mr. Burton, introduce it.
And the next one is also in Mr. Burton's district, an ordinance granting conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily, 7 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100 and Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 0.927 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Burton, introduce it.
That's all.
Thank you, sir. Council member comments? Council member comments? Anybody? Entertain a motion to go to executive session for land acquisition and collective bargaining.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Obviously, motion carried. We're not executive.